What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. As usual, I'm Kyle Corbliss, and today's great day, big day. I recently found out if you recently looked on Instagram, you know that I recently found out that it was my like 3-year podiversary. Kind of missed it by like a week or two, but that's okay. We ballpark. But anyway, three years, 162 weeks. If you're listening to this now, I think it's like 165 weeks. Straight country music, great times. Couldn't ask for anything more. I'm really grateful. But nonetheless, all that behind me, I got someone I'm really cool today. Someone who's got a lot going on, and I'm really excited to get to talk to her. Erin Kirby, thank you for coming and hanging out with me. I appreciate it. I'm super excited. I know I've said that like 5 times already, but I'm stoked. So thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm super excited, and congratulations.
Thank you. I don't know if congratulations is in order, but you know, it's been fun nonetheless. So that's all that matters. But you know, there's a lot going on for people that already know you. They probably know that, you know, you have some pretty cool things happen in the last couple of weeks. But before we get to all that, and before we dive into all that, why don't we just start off with, you know, the people who may not know you, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, my name's Erin Kirby. I'm from a small town in North Georgia called Jasper. I currently live in Nashville, though, but I go home a lot. I have a dog. I have chickens. We actually have lots of animals in the house. Animals are a big thing for me. You know, I'm just a girl, a Georgia girl that loves country music. So that's what I'm doing.
I love it. That's fantastic. Now, how many animals do you have? If you have a lot, if you say you have a lot of animals, you better be able to hold up your end of the bargain here. You got to be able to walk the walk.
Right. So we have 4 dogs. We have a cat, 2 rabbits. And then we have like 20 something chickens. So it's not a ton, but you know, we always have something though. Like last weekend, I went home and we collected a baby bird that I was feeding. So there was that. And 1 week we had another kind of bird, and there's always something in our house, something new.
There's always some sort of animal. I love it. Now, are the rabbits, see, this is something I've been wanting to know, because as of recent, I feel like people have been getting pet rabbits, but they keep them like inside the house, and they're, right, they're like litter box trained. Is that what your rabbits are?
They are, but you put them outside during the summer just because they like it so much more. They are much happier.
Do rabbits, and this is going to sound so dumb, but do rabbits kind of act like cats around the house? Like, are they social? Like what is a rabbit like as an indoor animal? And this is coming from a guy who never grew up with like a dog, a cat. I mean, I love dogs. Like I have a little bit of golden retriever energy, but other than that, like I'm not like I don't have any pets. So I don't know what like it would be like to have a rabbit running around my house.
Well, we have 2. So we have a girl and a boy. So they're never out together because we don't want any more little ones. There you go. But the girl is mine. Her name is Bunny. And she has the biggest attitude ever. She will run around the house, hop. She stomps her feet. She'll like grunt at you if you're not paying attention to her. And then the boy is really sweet. So he'll hop around, but he usually likes to cuddle more than like run around the house.
Sure.
But they prefer staying outside. So
right now, his name Rabbit. If yours is named Bunny,
his name is Smokey.
Okay, you know, you just had to ask. You never know. You never know. Very unique on the names. You know, you just gotta know.
Yeah, the next bunny. If we end up with a bunny, we'll give it to you. And
I'll take it. If they ever end up in the house at the same time and it was an accident and there ends up being a little baby bunny, you let me know. I'll come.
Okay,
back.
Perfect. Yes, well, I'll send it to you.
And I'll name it Bunny Squared or Bunny Junior or something. We'll see. You gotta keep on the train here. Fantastic. It's funny because the reason why I dived into the rabbit conversation was because when I heard Bunny, all I thought about is, like I said, I didn't grow up with any pets, but neither did my mom, except for a bunny. But the bunny was like an outdoor bunny, because every time my mom went to feed the bunny, it would pee on her. So it was like not one of those things that could, I guess, be in the house. But
oh my gosh, that's totally awful.
I'm not really sure why. I don't get it. Maybe my mom is not a bunny whisperer, clearly, but I don't know. Who knows? You never know what you're going to talk about here. Anyway, you live in Nashville from Georgia. What is the driving distance like? Because, or I don't know if you fly. I feel like that'd be a lot if you go.
Oh, no, I drive.
So is it close?
It's only three and a half hours okay, from where I'm from, because I'm an hour and a half south of Chattanooga. I'm like right on the line there. Like I'm way up north.
There you go. Okay. So that's not a bad ride.
No, it's super easy. There was a time I was driving up to Nashville and would stay for like 3 or 4 days and then drive back home for the other 3 or 4 days of the week and then go keep switching back and forth. But it's really not a bad drive at all.
So what do your drives consist of? Because for me, like, I love driving. If I'm going distance, I would much rather be alone than with someone else for multiple reasons. But one main reason is that I love sad country songs, and most people that I'm friends with don't. So I like to sing them and make it sound like I'm good, even though I sound like crap. But I mean, that's what highlights my car ride. So what highlights yours?
I mean, if I'm driving by myself, then yes, the music is always much louder than if someone else is in the car.
So loud. However,
My mom will drive with me a lot, or if a friend rides with me, then we do like karaoke in the car. We'll set up my phone on the dash or whatever and put the lyrics up so we can sing. And I'll usually either have like a lip gloss or something that was in my cup holder that we'll use as a microphone while we're driving. But if my mom's with me, then we just listen to all sorts of music.
Okay. I love it. What's your go-to karaoke song? It's an important question.
That's a tough question because I haven't done karaoke in years.
Okay.
Now, I used to go once a week, sometimes twice a week as a kid, and I would always sing "Change Is Gonna Come" by Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, so, yeah, great song. Yeah,
that was the one I would go to.
That's a good pick. That's a really good pick. Now, I'm surprised you go to karaoke as a kid though, because I feel like karaoke, like performing as a little kid, is one of those things that no one ever wants to do. Like, you want to go do karaoke, but you'd rather do it in your basement when no one's around.
Right. I don't know what was up with me. I wanted to sing all the time. I still do. So I guess we just made it work. If there was karaoke at the pizza place,
you were going
to be there. She's down pepperoni pizza and singing.
And some Sam Cooke.
Yeah. There you go. That's
it. I love it. Now, see, it's funny because like when I hang out with my friends now, and you know, we have carpool karaoke sessions, right? Not trademarked, but when you have carpool karaoke sessions, like we always pick like the Disney original songs. I don't know if that's weird. Like it's always like the Jonas Brothers or like High School Musical or like something weird like that. Because a lot of my friends don't like country music. So I'm kind of like this outsider, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to kind of bring it in. So it's usually like the Joe Bros, I'm a big Nick Jonas guy, or like something along those lines. A little weird, I know, but it kind of works out. Camp Rock. All
yes,
boys.
Yes. Camp Rock is good. High School Musical, though, is definitely better, but
that's
just my opinion, but anyway.
Two is better than one. That's all I'm saying. Listen, that's all I'm saying. That's it. I love it. That's fantastic. Now, so what is that transition like for you? Because are you 19 or 20?
I'm 19.
You're 19. Okay. So you're 19 years old. You live in Nashville, which is like, as a 19-year-old, like that's kind of like this big thing, right? Like how long have you been in Nashville for? And what was that process like for you? Was it nerve-wracking? Like it seems like, you know, you have people close to you, so that must be great. But what is that whole process like?
Oh yeah. Well, I have been, originally I was coming back and forth, like I said, and mm-hmm. I've been doing, since then, it's been like a year and a half, I guess, maybe a little longer. And for the first year, my mom was actually coming with me the majority of the time. So it wasn't super difficult because I had someone here to hang out with or whatever, because making friends in a brand new city is actually so hard.
Yeah.
But then I found my crew. I have like one of my bestest friends. She's here and we hang out probably way too much, but that's okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's great. I come up here. We do all sorts of things. You know, most people would think if you live in Nashville, you go out, you go downtown. And for some people, that is their thing. But I prefer to go to the Mexican restaurant in my sweats like every day of the week. So that's what it's like living in Nashville. You know, you do your music, you go to the Mexican restaurant, come back home and do more music.
That's it. You just need those three things.
Yes.
Eat, sleep, music, Mexican restaurant. That's it.
Yeah, that's all I need.
And the eat and the Mexican restaurant kind of go hand in hand. So you really only need one.
Right. I mean, you might need like a good friend to go with you.
Yeah, sure.
Because nobody wants to eat Mexican food by themselves.
No, not at all.
It's still good though. I live in
Northern New Jersey, closer to New York City. I know some people in the Nashville area and I have some family down there and whatever else, but some of the best Mexican food I ever had was in Knoxville. My cousin went to UT And so I went to visit them years and years ago. And we just go to this Mexican restaurant. And I was like, I mean, we got Mexican in New Jersey. Like, it's not going to be really any different. But it was like Tex-Mex, I guess, maybe is a better way to put it. Okay. No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. I don't know. The queso kicked ass, though. I'll tell you that. The queso was so good. And then I forgot what I had. I may have had some tacos. I forget. But they were great, too. So, like, yeah. I don't know. But it was like some hole-in-the-wall place. I'm pretty sure it was like in a strip mall. It was great.
Oh, yeah. Hole in the wall is best. You know, being from a small town, there's like nowhere to eat but 6 Mexican restaurants. And that's all we have. It's like that McDonald's. So I love a good hole in the wall Mexican restaurant.
Yeah,
that's what I live for.
I'm all for it. I feel like a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. It's great. And listen, Mexican food, I'm all in. It may not agree with me, but I agree with it. So that's all I'm at. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And we won't go any farther than that. So let's kind of talk about your music and I don't think you like to use the I word, the influence word all the time, because I think it's like a drown out question, but I love to hear kind of what people are listening to kind of like in the current day, like what you're listening to now, and I love to just kind of pair that together with the music that you have out, especially some of the newer stuff, and see if I can like put any pieces together of that nature. But what I like to do is, like, for me, I'm like a music almanac. Like, I have so much music just sitting in my head that just rotates all the time. So I love when people are like, hey, this is what I really like, and this is like some of my favorite stuff, but maybe their sound sounds totally different, or maybe it's the same. I don't know. So what do you listen to now? And what are you really enjoying?
Well, I listen to a whole bunch of different stuff. You know, I hop all over. I can listen to like a really sad pop song and then jump over to like, I'm a redneck, yeehaw. It's a good mix of that. But when it comes to my music and my references, recently I've been using Luke Combs as the number one like reference. I want to be like a female version of that, because sometimes he gets a little, you know, emotional, and then sometimes he's like, but I'm a redneck, yeehaw. And that is Aaron through and through.
I love it. I love it. So what I love about that is like Luke's got like the super powerful voice, and you know, what I love about you is that you also have that really, really powerful voice, like runs for days. Like, I'm talking like go run a marathon and back type runs for days. You know what I mean? So, when did you discover that you could do all these like crazy, like up and down riffraff run? Like that's nuts. Like, it's nothing I've ever heard. And I'm going to explain to you, like, when I first listened to you for the first time, I call it like voices I'd throw a shoe at. You ever hear like Jennifer Hudson say, like, when she has a really good voice, like she throws a shoe. Like, your voice in the most respectful way and positive way possible is a voice I would throw a shoe at. Like, it just is what it is.
That's the best compliment I've ever gotten. Thank you.
See? Listen, throw that quotation marks and put that on the Instagram. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. But when did you find out that you can sing like this?
Well, I mean, I've been singing to start it from the beginning of time. As my parents would say, I was born and I did not cry. I would make like this Allah, Allah sound. And my parents were like, wow, because I'm the first child. They're like, wow, we got so lucky. This child does not cry. She's literally singing a song right now. And then as I grew older, I loved music. I would pick up on like every lyric to every song. I would just start singing everything. And eventually I just started doing the riffs and the runs. It just kind of came to me. And now I do it so much. I will write so many songs throughout my day. I'm like, oh, I'm washing the dishes, so I'm going to sing about that. That now the riffs and the runs just come naturally. It's easier for me to do a run than to sing something straight at this
point. So crazy. That's so nuts. Cause all I've ever wanted to do is do a run. I mean, I can't even sing normal, but if I could, all I've ever wanted to do is do a run. That was it.
And it's like, really fun.
But where do you get all that blues, like that blues sound, that R&B, like where does that all come from? Because it's so like old school, like you brought up Sam Cooke, like it's so like that type stuff with a twang. Like it's such a great blend. And I mean, you know, we're going to dive into this, but like the only other person that I've ever like sat here on my computer and had the same type of conversation with is like 2 years ago with Cameron Marlowe. So I mean, it's funny how we're, you know, the full circle thing, but like, still, it's like, that's the only ever thought I ever had. And it's like, I don't understand how these two mix. And maybe it's because I don't understand vocal composition. I don't know, but I don't get it because it's so crazy to me. It's so nuts.
Well, you know, being from Atlanta, that's one of the biggest influences on my soulful side. I did not grow up on country music, even though I'm from a country place. My mom is from Chicago, so she always played hip hop or R&B. She introduced me to like Motown at a very young age. We used to watch the Apollo, old videos of that. So that was like my biggest influence when I first started singing. I would only sing, you know, Sam Cooke, Nina Simone, Adele. I would not go outside of that until I found country music on my own and fell in love with it. So I was like, what the heck? Why do we not mix these two? This is Aaron through and through, a little country soul going on.
Yeah.
So that's what happened for me.
That's probably the best description. It was funny because I was I was listening to Tracy Lawrence's podcast today or yesterday, and he recently had on, well, I'm forgetting the name, Marcus Dowling, I think, from the Tennessean, I believe. And if I'm getting that name wrong, I apologize. But basically he said that country music is Southern soul, like, which is a great representation and description of what country music is, which I'm pretty all for. Like, not obviously not everyone, but there is a big group of people that are under like the Southern soul type of country music that, you know, they pull all this old stuff, like the Sam Cooks and the Elvises and the Etta James, and, you know, they pull all these artists that you know were gospel singers, for lack of a better term, and they put it into their country music. And I think that's probably a great description.
Exactly. I mean, think of Chris Stapleton. He is a soul singer. Yeah. Singing country music.
Yeah.
They go together so well because you're telling a story. And I feel like soul music definitely does do that. You get the story along with just the great lyrics and the great voices. And that is true. It is Southern soul. It's country music.
I agree. I think that the best part about country music is that it is a story, right? And it does lend itself to be able to paint this picture in your head of exactly what's going on. And, you know, like you said, I always say this too, and I always sound like a broken record, but I didn't grow up on country music either. So, you know, it's like one of those things that you just have to, I guess, feel eventually. It hits you in the soul. Like, that's literally what it does. It hits you in the soul, and then the bug bites you, and then you're screwed. And that's it. It is what it is. You'll never turn around. So
exactly.
It's just, that's how it goes. So, do you remember the first country song that you listened to and you said, oh shit, like, I love this stuff?
Oh gosh.
Because if you can't tell, I can tell you mine.
So
you
better, this is so funny too, because I was going to, I say Jesus camp. I was going to Jesus camp. I was a worship leader, and I was driving one of my buddies, Kenny, and he is so country. He was playing me these country songs, and he played Boots by Hardy.
Okay.
At first I was like, okay, this is interesting. All right. And then the whole way home, I listened to it with him probably 17,000 times. Yes. So as the next week went on, I listened to that song so much that eventually I would be like, okay, let's listen to like a radio country thing, whatever, sure. You know, wherever we can find country music, let's try it out here. And sure. I loved it. Fell in love with Morgan, fell in love with Hardy, that whole group, you know, jumped into the Luke Combs. And then I talked to my brother. I was like, wait, what we love country music, you love it too. My brother is an old school, like, he loves old country, so it was great because we mixed, you know, me finding Hardy with like his taste for old country music, sure. You know, a bit of Keith Whitley here and there, like, so it started with Boots, I would say.
That's pretty cool. And I also love that you said you're the oldest, which means your brother's younger than you, right? Obviously, that's how that would work out, and he likes older country, which is pretty cool,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty cool. I love that. It's cool because, like, you know, that's, you know, like, Hardy's in retrospect, Hardy's fairly new, right? If you're saying your first song you listened to is Boots, then that's fairly new, right? But, you know, I think I the bug bit me probably about, what am I, say like 10 years ago, right?
Okay.
A little before that. I was like 15 years old, 14 years old. And like, for me, it was early Rascal Flatts. Like, that's what I found first, right? Like, and like, really early Keith Urban. So it's funny how, like, how the times have shifted a little bit, and, like, because you know, when I hit that scene, like, Morgan Wallen wasn't even a thing yet, right? Or like Hardy wasn't not, of course, Hardy wasn't a thing yet either. Obviously, he came along as Morgan came along. So it's kind of cool to see just the generational differences and kind of what you fell in love with and what I fell in love with. But it's cool because nonetheless, right, like we both found this modern day sound, and eventually I backwards too and started listening to the old stuff too. Like I love Keith Whitley. He's like one of my heroes, right? So, you know, I love that stuff too. So I think that's really cool that there's like this generational shift in that.
I will say that, like, as a kid, I would watch Dora. I would watch Food Network.
Where's this going?
And then I would always watch CMT's, like, country videos.
Sure.
And I would watch that as a kid.
Yeah.
But I never, like, would listen to country music outside of that until later. But
hey, it just happened. It happened when the time was right.
Exactly.
Now, did you so you brought up, like, you know, obviously you're from Georgia and Atlanta is your big city. So obviously Atlanta is very musically influenced in a different way. It's obviously not country music heavy, but it's got some R&B in there. And I think Atlanta's really big into rap too, right? Aren't those like the two big ones? So was there ever like a thought in your head when music started to get really serious for you and you said, okay, like I want to do this eventually, where you said, maybe I'll just stay in Georgia and play music in Atlanta and see where that takes me? Like, did that ever go into your head, or was it always like, I gotta go to Nashville?
Oh no, absolutely. I actually started in like the R&B hip hop world. I was writing in Atlanta, oh my gosh, for years. I would go, my mom would pick me up from school when I was in like fourth grade, and we would go down to Atlanta just so I could learn all about the music scene, whatever it was. And it was not until, again, I fell in love with country music that I thought, okay, wait, maybe Nashville is the place for me.
Sure.
Maybe I should check this out because I love country music so much. But I was so much closer to Atlanta that R&B was like, that was the main option. So I definitely started in R&B, pushed it a little bit towards the pop. But when COVID happened and everything, I was like, well, now I'm stuck in my small town. So I guess I am just a country girl.
That's right. At heart, it was there. You just had to dig and find it.
Exactly.
Now, was that after Pink Hair, Erin, or was that prior?
Oh, no, it was country music, Erin, was definitely after the Pink Hair.
You didn't think I was going to figure that one out, did you? You
thought that one was you Google my name and it's like, oh, here's Erin with Pink Hair. I'm like, nobody, I'm going to change my name, I think.
No, don't do it. It's a phase. I don't think it was a bad look. I think it was
definitely a phase. Yeah.
Hey, listen, everyone goes through, I mean, not me personally, but like, I had a ton of friends growing up, that, like girlfriends that growing up that all had like a big thing when I was younger was the dip dye.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever did that, where like you just dip dyed the bottom of your, it was like right. Frosted tips, but for like the 2010 kids, not the 90s kids.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It was a phase. My mom always said, at least the worst thing you're doing is dyeing your hair pink.
That's so right. Could be so much worse.
Right.
It would be so much worse. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In terms of just briefly, let's talk about this, because I think it involves your story and I think it's important. Like you went on American Idol, right? And you went through that whole process. And you know, we don't have to go too far into it because I don't think it's as important as what's going on currently. But do you think that whole experience shaped a lot of who you are as an artist and how you approach your music? Because, you know, it's kind of a rigorous process and it takes a lot to put yourself out there. And I think that, you know, a lot of people come away learning a lot from it, even if they don't, you know, finish top five.
Right. I would say, yes, it happened at such perfect timing.
Sure.
So I auditioned the day before my 16th birthday.
Wow.
And Luke Bryan actually said to me, at the time I auditioned with a pop song, and Bryan said, do you ever sing country? Have you ever thought about it? And I said, no, I haven't thought about it really. I like country music a lot, but I have never thought about doing it on the artist side. And then probably after my audition, it was probably 4 or 5 months later was when COVID started, and I got stuck in my small town. And, you know, I realized, you know, maybe Luke Bryan said that for a reason.
Sure.
Maybe I should just try this out while I have so much time on my hands. Mm-hmm. I got the chickens that year. I was tie-dyeing everything I saw in sight and decided I'll just start singing country music, maybe try to write a few country songs. And I would post those on the internet and they would do better than anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that was because it was more authentic to who I am.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say that American Idol was important to who I am now. It definitely helped shape me into the country artist that I am now, because it was like my last thing as a pop artist. It showed me that country music was where I belonged.
Mm-hmm. And you just had to find it, right?
Exactly. I just had to see that pop was cool, but it wasn't for me.
And I think that like more people than you think have that experience. Like even as listeners, right? Like I think that growing up, I know for me growing up, like I listened to a ton of pop music, right? And a lot of rap music. And I don't know. I just listened to it because that's what all my buddies listened to. And I shied away from everything else because I didn't think it was cool. Right. But it's like, I don't know. Once you open the one thing that I love about this like platform that I've been doing for a few years at this point is like, I love when people come to me and say like, I don't typically listen to country music, but like you told me to listen to this one guy and now I like him, or you told me to listen to this one band and I like them now. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the ability to open people's minds to something that they didn't even know was there in the first place. And I think that's really cool. And I think that it's cool that, you know, like I always talk about all the time about how artist careers go in waves and how you have to kind of do things and them not necessarily not fail, because I don't really think anyone fails, but for them not to work out so that you can learn from, you know, what didn't work the first time and pivot and try something new and something that might be more authentically yourself. And I think that's really cool that, you know, you did go and take that risk and did it at a pretty much totally different angle, but you had to do it to find what you really were passionate about and what was really the door for you to walk through.
Oh yeah. I think, you know, my goal is to be that artist that the people that don't listen to country music hear my music and then they start loving country, because Artie was that for me. Morgan Wallen was that for me. And even now I have friends I grew up following from pop and R&B music. And I started posting country music and they were sending me a message. Oh my gosh, I love this song. Now I love country music. I love listening to country. I love your country stuff. Like that makes my heart so happy, because that's exactly who I want to be. I want somebody to love me and as my artist self for my music, for my voice, for my songwriting, not because I'm just in a specific genre.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think it's so important. And it only takes one person. You open one person, that person opens the second person, and then it's just like a trickle effect. And I think that's fantastic. So let's talk about the writing really quick. And then that's how I'm going to segue into this next stuff. Like what is that like for you? And was it something that you, I know you said that, you know, you've kind of been doing it for a while, but obviously as you get older and you go through more experiences, the writing becomes more genuine and more authentic. And then you get to start moving and then you move to Nashville and you go to Nashville and you start writing with other people. Like how much growth have you seen since you were, you know, like 5 years old in Georgia? Obviously there's a lot there, I would hope so, but that was a stupid question. That was a stupid way for me to word that question. What is that, what is that whole process like for you? And was it something that came easy? Cause I know for a lot of people, it does not come easy. It's really hard for a lot of people and they really want to try and they really want it to be something that they love, but it's not easy for a lot of people.
I am a huge perfectionist. And so songwriting, I never wanted to do it because I thought I would fail. Mm-hmm. And people would always tell me, no, you just gotta write. And I would just write these songs and I knew that they were not great, but then I started co-writing with more people. I learned more about writing music. And now where I'm sitting, just honestly within the past year, my writing has changed so much, because I was writing all of these like emotional songs, all these emotional like ballads or whatever it was, and stuff that, you know, I'd listen to and I'd like was emotional. And I just had to find myself in writing. I now love it so much more, just again from last year, but definitely from when I was first starting out at like 12 or 13.
Sure.
I now am writing these fun songs that make me so excited to sing, to perform, these songs that truly feel like who I am. And I had to let go of the perfectionist side of myself in order to get to where I am now. Just saying it's going to be okay. Not every song is going to be great. And that's okay. You have to write the bad ones to get to the good ones.
Yeah, totally.
So I love writing. I write probably 3 or 4 times a week. I have a session, but I write alone all the time, just always grabbing ideas, whatever it is, because it brings me so much joy.
Yeah. And that's what it should. Like, I think that so many people feel the same way. And like, you're right. Like, you know, I have been grateful to talk to a lot of songwriters, and they all kind of say a similar thing where it's like, you got to write songs that don't, and that doesn't mean they stink. Like that's really important. Like,
exactly.
Like they might not work for you.
Right.
Like you might say they stink. And as a perfectionist, like you would, right? Like, but it's true. Like it might not work for you, but there might be someone on like, you know, like someone that you meet on social media or like you're out at a bar or whatever. And like you bump into someone and you say like, oh, like, you know, then, you know, the whole like, oh, let's write some time. Sure. And like you sit in a room, you're like, oh, well, I have this like idea for a song, but it never really panned out. And maybe they're like, wait, that it's really going to work for me. Like, this is perfect. And it becomes like their thing. Right. So I think that it's great that you write all those songs that may not work for you.
Yeah. I mean, I had to remember that music is art. So everybody looks at it differently. And if every song was the same, then we would live in a really boring music world. So not everything's going to work for me. Not everything is going to work for the next person, but maybe we have things for each other. You never know.
That's
so
right.
How about the perfectionist side of it?
I think that you can use that lesson in a lot of parts of life. Not everything's going to work for you. Not everything's going to work for the guy down the street. Not everything's going to work for the angry old lady that lives behind you that's annoyed because you're up till 1 a.m., right? Like playing music. Like it's not going to work for everyone all the time, but it's important that if it works for you, it works for you. And that's what matters. So, I think that that's important. Now, let's talk about these two songs that you put out this year, and then we're gonna, you know, dive into some of the other stuff here. But Raising a Barn, Boys These Days, both, you know, like more upbeat, rockish, countryish songs. You know, Boys These Days are definitely a little bit more on the pop side of things, and so, you know, like you have a pretty good following now, and I think a lot of that has to do with your voice. And so putting these songs out, like, you know, it must've been fun when you tease these things and you have all these people say like, oh, drop this now. Like were these songs that you considered for yourself perfect?
Yes.
Okay.
So cool. I wrote both of these songs a year ago.
Cool.
And I loved them, especially Race in a Barn.
I love that song.
That is the one that started it all.
Love
so
that
we
song.
Started with Race in a Barn. I loved Boys These Days, especially it being so personal. And now it being like my first country release, it's so special to me. I love that song. It's so fun. I will say the songs that I have been writing and that are coming very, very soon, definitely dive into the more countryside.
Sure.
So I would say, yes, I loved those songs. I still love them, but I'm also very excited for the more countryside of myself to come out.
I think that that's incredible. I always say that no matter what, no matter who you are, the next step should always be a one-up. You should always one-up yourself. Always. So, and you know how many people have said like if I'm like, hey, this song that you put out in 2019 is a banger still. Like I still listen to it all the time. And they're like, man, that song stinks now. I'm like, dude, no, it's not. Because at the time, like it was fantastic. And it still lives for a lot of people that love songs like that. Right. But like now you're older and you've gone through more and you've grown more and you've become more experienced and you've worked with other producers and you've gone through the process. Right. And of course, like you want to be better than the last song. Like, you know, of course you don't want to just stay stagnant. So I think it's great that, you know, you love Raising a Barn. I love Raising a Barn. I think that's a great song. I think it's phenomenal. But I love that the new stuff is even better. Like, I think that's great. And maybe Raising a Barn is going to be my favorite Aaron Kirby song of all time. And that's okay. But I think that it's important that the stuff that you're going to put out, in your opinion, is a lot better.
Oh, yeah. I'm just so excited. But you will definitely catch me riding around with Raising a Barn blaring.
As you should.
24/7.
Do you feel weird about listening to yourself? Is that like something that like you get weirded out about? Because I don't like listening to myself, believe me. I listen to myself enough.
I don't like listening to myself, but I love listening to those songs. That's how I know if I really love a song.
Yeah.
Will I listen to this song on repeat, even though I'm singing it and it's my song? Even though I know everything about the song, will I listen to it on repeat? And if I will, yes, I love that song. And that one
really
is
a good way to do it. That's why people say get henna tattoos before you get an actual tattoo, because if you really like it after 10 days, you're going to love it forever. I don't know why that was the first comparison I made, but there you
go.
That's
the best comparison.
You know, listen, that's why I have no dumb tattoos. Or you do the little Sharpie. I've done a little Sharpie before where you draw the little thing on there and then you're like, all right, do I like this in 5 days before it gets, you know, washed off? And if you do, you do, and it's meant to be.
Absolutely.
Part of your story, right? Like that's 100% what it is. And I think that it's great that you love this stuff. Now, a lot that's happened the last like week or so, Aaron. All right. So right? we gotta talk about it. I mean, it'd be weird if we just didn't talk about it, right? It'd be ridiculous. So let's backtrack a little bit. So in November of 2022, I was scrolling through TikTok like I unfortunately do a lot. And my TikTok is literally just stupid videos and music. That's basically what it is. There's not really, and like mini wiener dogs. That's the other part of it. It's like those three things. So I was scrolling through and I stumble across, a voice memo from Cameron Marlowe of this song that he's teasing called, The Truth Is I Can't Lie. Right. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, I've gotten to know Cameron over the years. And I was like, whoa, like this song is incredible. And I don't think I've ever heard him do anything that I didn't like, but this was my favorite. And I was like, this is like kind of old schooly and it goes to like his blues side of things. And I just thought it was really, really cool and really funky and awesome. And then all of a sudden, like a week later, I'm scrolling and I see you duet this song. And I'm like, who's going to sing to this song? And then you open your mouth. I'm like, who the hell is this? And I commented on that video and I'm pretty sure I shared it. And I probably sent it to a million people. And I was like, who in God's name is this? So I follow you. Right. And then the video blows up. And then every time he teased it, all you saw was people tagging you. Like, that's it. It was just like get Aaron Kirby on, Aaron Kirby, this, that. And I'm like, oh my God, like he's got to see it. I was like, what? It's every video. It's every video about the song. What was that like? And like, you know, I know you said that you would, you know, sing a lot of covers like in your room or whatever. Is like this one of those songs that you were just like, I just think that this song is cool. Or did you like actually think that, did any part of you for a second think that something could happen from this?
I mean, I love the song. Sure. I fell in love with it from the first time I heard it.
No, did I? You. The first verse was in my head in November. Never left my head. That was it.
Oh, yeah. So I saw the video and decided I am just going to duet this. Cameron had comment on previous videos, covers that I'd done. So I was like, he'll probably see this just because we now follow each other. So that would be cool. But I never really thought that we would have it out as a song together.
Sure.
It's crazy how it happened. It's really crazy how quickly it blew up. I don't think any of my videos have ever just taken off so quickly.
Yeah.
It was all day long. My phone was blowing up and I was so grateful for it. But at the same time, I'm like, there's nothing I can do about it, guys. Like, I'm just doing this for fun. Yeah. It's his song. It's gonna be out probably by himself or with someone else. Thank you so much. Sure. And then here we are now, months later, and people are still commenting my name. I'm like, again, guys, I cannot do anything. And I'm just gonna listen to this song and love it.
Yeah.
And then Cameron surprised me in the studio to cut the vocals. And I really could not believe it. I seriously thought I was just going to lunch with my manager. That's what I say. Like, Cameron totally caught me slipping. It was a no hair wash day. I had a hat on. So I was just so surprised, super excited, super grateful. I didn't know it was going to happen. So.
So you're telling me between the video that you posted that ended up blowing up, right? And do you know how many views are on that video?
I think at this point it's over 800,000, I believe.
Guess what? We're going to check. I'm going to have the live number in like 2 seconds.
Okay.
So you're telling me between the posting of that video and now, like, you never heard it's 859,200 views. That's absolutely bananas. So you're telling me between the point that video was posted and, you know, as of a couple weeks ago when, you know, the song came out, you never heard anything like you were in the dark. He never said like you never messaged him on the side, nothing. It was just totally like, okay, maybe this is just, that's it. It's just done.
Yeah. Nothing. I heard
he commented on the video, right?
Oh yeah. He commented on it. He duetted the video as
right,
well.
He did later on though, months later.
Right. So no, I didn't hear anything. I didn't think anything, but people were still messaging me. They would come on my live stream and be like, what? So are you putting the song out?
Yeah.
Like, okay. No, I haven't heard anything. Did you hear something I didn't hear? Like, what are you talking about? So,
did something get lost in your email box? Come on.
Right. Hold on. Let me check my spam real quick. No, I didn't hear anything. So it was a total shock to me.
That's wild. That's actually so nuts. Because like, I don't know. That's so, cause you know, we saw it too, but like, obviously, you know, there's some things that got to come into fruition there, but it's so crazy how it all happened. And like, you know, all of a sudden I see him duet this video and cause then obviously, you know, when you duet a video on TikTok, like the original one comes up first or the stitch, whatever. I'm not hip, the stitch, whatever they call it. Right. And, and then they cut and I saw his face. It's like, holy shit, it's happening. Like it is going to happen. Like this is it. And then I like didn't see that you commented on his stitch at first. And I was like, oh my God, like if she doesn't see this, I'm going to freak out. And the funniest part was that I think I reached out to you like a week prior to that video coming out. So I was like, oh my God, like she'll see my DM now. Should I send some, like, should I tell her to look? But then obviously I didn't need to do that. You didn't need my help, but that would have been, that was just, the whole process was crazy. I'm so glad you're able to do that with him. I mean, he's a great guy and obviously he kicks ass and it's, that's just the coolest thing. The song sounds fantastic. It sounds so good. What was that process like recording that song? Was it difficult? Like, that's two very powerful voices on one song.
Well, I had never heard the whole song before. All right. I had to go off of was the TikTok I duetted in November. Right. So I listened to it one time, his version, the whole way through. And then he and I went off and just played it acoustically until I kind of figured it out. And he told me, just do your thing. Don't get caught up in the melody. This is your song now as much as it is mine, which I truly appreciated. Awesome. Because he didn't just put me in a box. He let me be the artist that I am. So and cool. So we recorded it probably in 2 hours, I would say. It was pretty quick. Yeah. We got it done. So it was very exciting. I think my adrenaline was just pushing me through, getting me going real fast.
I would have blacked out.
No, I know I had to concentrate. I was like, oh, Erin, read the words. Don't read the words wrong. Like that would be So no, we recorded it and then I left there and was like, what just happened? Yeah. What just happened? And also, was this just for fun or is the song coming out? Like, okay.
Oh, you didn't know any of that?
No, I was just like, they told me that they were going to put it out, but you just never know until it happens, you know? Sure. So then I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, we're going to get together for artwork and the song's coming out this date. And my mind just was alone.
19 years old. That's wild. That's absolutely crazy. So for me, what I'd be nervous about is the fact that you didn't hear the rest of the song and you had to learn the lyrics. There's no shot that I'd be able to, and I don't, cause I'm also like, I can't multitask. Right. So if I'm like trying to learn the lyrics, right, I'm trying to hear them, which is great. But after that couple of run throughs, like you're going to have to start reading it. I couldn't read and sing at the same time. There's no shot. So like, I commend you for that. That's the first thing that stuck into my head. Like, how the hell did she remember all the lyrics? I don't know. It's pretty impressive, I gotta say.
Had a sheet of lyrics, thank the Lord. And honestly, me doing karaoke at 9 years old every week had me covered. So
thank God for Sam Cooke. Wow. Thank God for the local pizza joint there in Georgia. Absolutely fantastic. Now, what was your reaction like when you told your family and friends that this was happening? Like, was it just like the most ridiculous thing ever?
Yes, they were very, very, very excited. I remember the funniest reaction. My best friend is really going to hate me for saying this. My best friend's name is Sophia. I call her and I was just like, hey, I have something to tell you. She goes, okay, once again, I have to pee. And I said, oh, okay, well, I really want to tell you. And she said, well, you can just tell me now. And I tell her and she goes, are you kidding me? I'm literally peeing right now and you're telling me and I'm going to start crying on the toilet. Like, I love you so much. She was so excited. My parents were extremely excited. I didn't know how to tell them. Sure. She's like, well, this is happening and I'm freaking out. So please freak out with me.
Yeah. You got to have a partner in crime to freak out with you. And when you got to go, you got to go. Listen, I'm all for, listen, when you got to go, you got to go. Sometimes you can't wait and that's okay. That's all right.
It was the most real moment. And I am so grateful that I have a friend that is.
And you could tell that story forever too. How great is that? I mean, come on.
Poor her. I'm sorry, Sophia.
That's true. Hey, Sophia, it's all right. We're I'm with you. I would have done the same thing. It's okay. It's all right. Now, then what happens there is I just have to get all the inside about this because I think it's like the craziest thing ever. And it's funny because like I've been telling all my friends, like, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of my friends really appreciate my love for music, but and they just listen to me ramble. But I was like, guys, you got to hear this girl's voice. Like, you got to hear this girl's voice. And what was cooler is like, obviously, like I said, like Cameron was on my pod with like, you know, a couple years ago, year and a half ago, whatever it was. So like, I was like, how sick is that? They're both going to be on the pod. They're both on the same song. And like, I didn't even reach out to Aaron because of the song. Cause I didn't even know what was happening. Right. So like, I was like, how awesome is that? So I've been playing your music and your videos and all that stuff for all my friends, just to hear your voice. Cause it's like the most ridiculous thing on planet Earth. But then like you go and you play the Opry, like you play the Grand Ole Opry. Like that is like, for most people, that is as far as they ever want to go and they don't need to go any farther. Right. Like, and it, you step inside and it's just like this like shockwave that like felt like you, the fact of the matter is the amount of people that are heroes for so many people have stepped into that building is unbelievable.
Yeah.
They always say, and this is a common thing, is like, you know, and, you know, I've been able to talk to people who have played the Opry and the one thing that I know, you know, is that once you're nervous until you step in the circle and for some reason you're just, it's just non-existent. Now, I don't think that'd be the same for me, but if I was talented, I guess maybe would be. So, you know, like, was that true? And how wild was that experience?
It is so very true. I was side stage. I was so nervous.
Sure.
I was singing the song over and over again in my head. And I mean, as soon as I stepped on that stage, I was fine. I was like, okay, I'm good. This is good. I'm actually so excited and I'm not nervous at all. I am singing in my shower right now. This is so normal.
So crazy.
It's crazy how it happened, how it works like that.
I've stood on that stage and I got like, obviously there was no one in the crowd, but I stood on that stage and I got literal butterflies in my stomach from standing up there. I don't know. I don't know how people do that. That makes no sense to me, but it's the coolest thing ever. Like, I wish I saw the whole performance. I like tried to look for it on like YouTube or something, but like, I can't find it anywhere. I don't know what's going on, but I've like watched over the Instagram clip. Like, I watched it over like a million times just cause I was like, this is the craziest thing ever.
Right. Like, it was crazy. But I think that happens a lot though. When you step on stage, you're not nervous anymore. Cause that from my own experience as an artist, that's like my home.
Yeah.
My home is the stage. So I want to be there all the time as much as possible. So it just makes me feel comfortable and happy. And I am my happiest when I'm on stage.
That's incredible. Now, how much does this whole experience over the last like few weeks or so, obviously, you know, you've had a good following on social media. Your original music is fantastic. And, you know, you have people that really love your stuff for good reason, but how much is this whole experience over the last, you know, few weeks or so, or a month, month and a half, whatever it might be, like have driven you to continue and to, you know, because obviously Nashville gets tough. Like, it's not easy to do what you guys all do. Right. So, you know, how much has this motivated you to keep on going?
It's motivated me even more because now I've been fortunate enough that people have looked at my page. Now I have more, you know, followers and fans that are waiting for my original stuff, for new stuff. And so it has motivated me even more to get this music going, get it out so that they can see, you know, Aaron Kirby.
Yeah. Outside
of I Can Lie, the truth is that is very much Aaron Kirby, but also the stuff that I do as well. So it's motivated me.
It's incredible.
Even more.
That's absolutely incredible. Now, what's next with this new stuff? Do you know of anything? Do you know timetables? You don't gotta give me a day because I know it's kind of like hush hush, but like, do you know of what's next? Is it gonna be a bunch of singles? Like, do you have any idea for a project, or like, do you know anything at all that you can share?
So I believe we are going to put another single out. Cool. Hopefully this month, maybe it's going to be pretty soon.
We're moving. I like it.
4 to 6 weeks. Right. And then I have 5 songs right now that are being mixed. So those will come out either. I don't know if we're going to do singles. I don't know if we're going to do an EP.
Yeah.
It may be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's fantastic. A lot of new music, huh? I love it.
A lot of new music.
I love it. That's absolutely fantastic. Aaron, you are 19 years old, but I feel like I'm talking to someone who's a lot smarter than me. So, I mean, that's, you've done a lot of cooler things than I've ever done. And I think that's awesome. Your career is bright. Your music's awesome. You're a great songwriter. Your voice is absolutely out of this world. Again, throw a shoe. Just keep it up, keep up all the good stuff and keep being a good person. You're awesome. Thank you for coming out with me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was so cool to meet you, hang out with you. And congratulations again. I think it's a congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Come back anytime. Whenever you want to come back, you let me know and we'll hang out. When this new music comes out or whatever you want to do, come hang. We'll talk about it and we'll shoot the shit and have a good time. How's that? Everybody, you can go listen to Aaron's music wherever you stream music. The Truth Is I Can Lie is out now with Cameron Marlowe and all her original music. It's all wherever you stream music, Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. And you can go follow her on Instagram at Aaron Kirby Music, all one word, and stay up to date with videos and release dates and all that jazz. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Remember Country Music Podcast. Remember to rate, subscribe, give us 5 stars if you love the episode, and follow us on Instagram at @RCM_podcast. New episodes come out every Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, wherever you listen to pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, it's there. Thank you again. 3 years. Here's to 3 more. I'm Kyle Corbis. That's Aaron Kirby. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.